Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Everybody, thanks for listening. This is a new edition of Run and Plays with Logan Murdoch and Kareth Burke, and I think we are the special guests today, each of us.
Yes, you're a bit more special than I am.
I disagree.
But we don't have a guest today, and I think that it would be great for people to just kind of get to know us a little bit better.
You know?
And I think that we are kind of faces on television, and you know, they see our writing and things like that, but I don't think they really know us, so I think this will be a great opportunity to do that.
Who are we, Logan?
I am a guy right now that's wearing a turtleneck because it is maybe like 55 degrees in the Bay Area, which is the equivalent of like 25 degrees anywhere else.
That's right.
It is freezing.
California cold.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I know you guys don't care about our first world problems, but it is cold, guys. It is very cold. It rained last night. I saw lightning. What is going on, bro?
I don't know. That's weird in the Bay.
Yeah.
Lightning freaks me out. I want one of those little, like, puppy thunder jackets. When I see rain, I want to hide under the covers.
Same.
Yes. I just got one of those weighted blankets.
Yeah.
That's my top Christmas gift suggestion to everybody, a weighted blanket. Mine is 12 pounds. It's really good for naps. It like settles onto you, and it's amazing.
Now, when you hear weighted blanket, you think of something that's like obviously weighted, like you're going to be forced down on the ground.
No, nobody's pinned.
Huh?
No, it feels nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's not heavy?
Well,
it's 12 pounds.
Yeah, but that's a fraction of your body weight, so it just feels comforting.
Well, I'm a weakling. You're stronger than me, so it might be a little. Okay, but you got a weighted blanket.
Yes.
When did you get it?
Like 2 weeks ago.
And you've used it every day since?
Yes.
Every day since? Okay.
Yes. My husband doesn't like it, but I like it, so we're kind of like, I've got it on my side of the bed, and he doesn't.
Well, that's cool for you, because it's more cover for you.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Whatever.
This is not sponsored, by the way, this weighted blanket
thing.
Well,
we didn't even show the company name, so whatever.
Well, here's the thing. I feel like I love talking to you. And I feel like when we do it like this, something structured for a podcast, it's going to be interesting when you have two interviewers interviewing each other. Because
yeah.
I've got my little notepad here. I made some questions for you.
I got some follow-ups to those questions.
I mean, that's fine. But what we really wanted to do with this podcast was just explain to listeners and to the viewers who see us, like, what are our roles? Because we are doing the same job, or we're covering the same team, but
yeah.
It's how is it so different for us? Because it is, and I think it starts with travel.
Right.
And this is the first season that you're traveling with the team. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
Hopped on with NBC Sports Bay Area
In March.
Okay, so it hasn't even been a year yet, but
no.
I'm proud of the way that you've established yourself as one of the best writers on this beat.
Oh, thank you.
I get to see... Let me compliment you for a second, because I get to see... Like, building on the work that you did in Summer League, or even last season, you have a great relationship with these young guys and these new guys, which means you can get stories that nobody else can get.
Thank you.
Have you had a moment that's made you really proud this season?
A moment this season has made me proud? I think the biggest moment that made me proud was doing the sit-down talk with Steve preseason.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had never done a sit-down interview ever. Not in that, like, we've done podcasts and things like that, but I've never done, like, the Kareth Burke style, the, you know, the Barbara Walters joint where it's like, yo, Steve, what's popping? It's just me and you. Tell me some stuff.
Do I remind you of Barbara Walters?
Nah.
I mean, she's like 80, right?
Y'all both legends, but you know what I'm saying? Other than that.
Thank you.
I just meant like more the sit down thing where you're talking mm-hmm. to someone face to face and it's on TV. You got to have a rhythm and things like that. That was the thing that I was most proud of because I didn't fail. It was the first time I'd ever done it. I remember I was just studying for days on end of like I watched maybe like 30 sit down interviews, whether it be from Rachel
Whoa.
Nichols, you, Stephen A. I watched a lot of Stephen A. stuff. Just trying to prepare for these types of things and seeing kind of things that they did and how they started an interview off. And I tried to really prepare myself for that, and it really did well. This season is probably that was the thing I'm most proud of, was stepping out of my comfort zone and succeeding.
I forget that TV is new for you.
Yeah,
because
it is new.
When I stand alongside you, I see that you're natural at this, but you're right. There's like segues, there's listening to the interview, but also knowing what your next question will be. Like you
right.
have to, I know as an interviewer, I want to make sure I have a roadmap, but if the person I'm talking to wants to, you know, take a left turn when I was expecting a right, you got to drive with them.
Well, yeah, like in this funny story about the Steve Kerr interview. That was when he said that Clay was unlikely to play this season.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I had Clay in my notes, but I didn't have him like too much in my notes. And I remember before the I hope I'm not speaking out of turn here, but before the interview, me and him are talking interview about things, and he just says like, "Yeah, Clay's not going to play for the rest of the season. It's probably not going to happen." And I'm like,
Wait
a second.
Yeah, you just made a face
like,
right there.
I was like, hold that thought.
Uh-huh.
Bet. Uh-huh. And so the Clay question was like, and as you know, when you write down questions, they're in order, a certain order. I think Clay was like maybe last or mm-hmm. maybe one of the last ones, and I put that thing up like to the third.
Yes.
You know? And I wanted to see, I think it's fair game to say it now, I wanted to see if he was going to keep that same energy that he did pre-interview.
Yeah.
And he did. He said exactly what he said, you know, that pre-interview. So I think that was an adjustment that people don't see that you have to make on the fly. Like, if they're telling you something, it's like, oh, I have to follow up on this.
Oh, yes.
I have to follow up. If they say something pre that you didn't even have the plans for, you write that down. Mm-hmm. And I think that was some of the biggest things that I've learned this season.
That was your interview. That was the one that made national news, where Steve says it is unlikely that Clay is going to play this season. And I think we knew maybe the ACL math,
yeah.
but holding out hope maybe it would happen sometime after All-Star break that Clay would play. Beginning of the season, we didn't know how injury depleted this team would be. Like, right. Clay was the big one.
Well, the biggest thing on that one was we recorded it on a Sunday,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't supposed to come out on a for a Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
So as you know, like, you're a reporter, when you get something, you want to put that out right away.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Especially as big as that.
Yeah.
You want to put that out right away. And I remember just being so nervous, like, and I'm like even thinking about asking, can we put this on Monday, please? Or at
yeah.
least something? Can we put it out right away, like now? And we had to wait. So I remember, I think they didn't have a practice the next day.
Okay.
I was nervous if they were going to have a practice like that Monday, and I remember they didn't, and I was like, and then I was looking at Twitter by the night, and I was like, okay, I think we're good.
Okay, yeah, because Steve wouldn't casually drop it out of practice, right? Like, he wouldn't
right.
break that after he got it.
Because we would have to ask that question.
Yeah.
And we, at that point, we weren't asking about Clay at that point. It just didn't. It wasn't coming around. We did the media day, and then, you know, it was just a general assumption, then we'll figure it out on February.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
But yeah, I was nervous.
Yeah. Well, Steve is a really honest guy, and he might say stuff that you kind of have to rewind in your mind to be like, wait a minute, that's mm-hmm. that's actually news. And he just kind of says it casually because he wants to talk about this stuff. And I remember when you hear from a coach saying, you know, a starter, a major player, is going to be unlikely to play this season, that is national news. It did blow up everywhere. Steve said he saw it on, you know, multiple outlets and our outlets, and then he joked with you afterward. What did he say?
He said, I blame Logan for all of this. And I don't know down the line whether it be here or somewhere else, but, like, if I get a podcast on mine, it's definitely going on the drop.
Yeah.
It's definitely getting – I'm using that drop forever. But no, that was great. One thing I want to ask you, we're talking about Steve, like, how
sure.
has it been to cover a guy like that for you? Because you're in a more, I guess, you're in a more intimate space with him because you guys travel. You see him more than I do.
Yeah.
Like, I see him every day, but you see him way more than I do. How has it
yeah.
been to be around a guy like that?
It's fantastic because what you see is what you get, whether he's on, so to speak, whether he's talking to media, whether he's talking to fans after the game, whether he's talking to his players, he is the same person all the time, which I really appreciate. And there's no phoniness or airs or, like, I don't know. I appreciate who he is, and I think it helps. Oh, when I'm around a coach so much, are the same people, and I'm asking them questions all the time. 90% of my questions I feel great about. Some of them, 10%, they sound one way in my head, and then when I spit them out, I'm like, oh, that was so clunky.
Man, I would want
to. And Steve has patience,
that.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to talk about Steve, but I think you just touched on something that was really interesting about how, I guess, writing questions down. right? Or even writing questions down, but like you have a question in your head. And it's funny, we have these scrums and we have all these things and we have these questions in our head, and I feel like we revise them so many times before we even ask the question.
Yes.
And sometimes I think we over-revise.
Yes.
How do you go into asking questions? Because like I remember one time I asked, even a couple of weeks ago, I asked Draymond a question. And it made sense in my head, but when I talked it out to him, when I said it, it just completely just fell on my face.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but he was good and he answered it great. But I remember thinking, like, why did I ask it that way?
Yes.
So stupid.
Yeah, I do too.
How do you feel?
Oh, I mean, it comes to preparedness. I want to know what all the storylines are. So it's not necessarily having the questions word for word in my head. It's just knowing the topic. And then that way I can just kind of spit it out, whatever feels natural. So it's sometimes it's not even a proper question. I'll just let something hang in the air accidentally. And then because you're making eye contact with somebody, they kind of know what you're getting at, and they'll just pick up the question for you. Okay, right here, I just lost it. What did you? Oh, if I rehearse stuff, right? Was that basically it?
Do you like overthink it in your mind when you're asking questions?
I don't think I'm overthinking, but if somebody else were to step in my head, yeah, probably. Because I am the type of person who will, if I have to leave a voicemail for someone, I recite it in my head at least 3 times before I do it. Is that normal? Do you do that?
I don't leave voicemails. I just text.
I don't know what normal is.
Because I know I don't answer voicemails, so I don't expect anyone else to.
Yeah.
So
Our
producer, Brandon is out here agreeing.
Just yes or no. Are you a rehearser in your head?
No.
He said no.
He says
okay.
No. Okay.
Well, then I've got some kind of sickness where it frustrates me when I cannot communicate the way that I want to. I suppose I'll give you an example. This is a tangent, but I really enjoyed learning Spanish in school, and I minored in it. Like I
really?
Did, yeah, I did all 4 years of high school. I minored in it at Wazoo. I never went to study abroad, and I think that's what could have pushed me into being fluent.
Mm-hmm.
So now I can read it very well, but it makes me nervous to speak it because if I can't place the words, I get so frustrated inside that I'm not communicating my emotions or my thoughts, so I just don't do it.
Yeah.
And that's a weakness. I should really try, but it bothers me when I cannot speak my mind or relate to people in the way that I want to. So that's been kind of a barrier for me. I think that's why I try to be so careful about picking my words or expressing myself well or making sure I have good questions. And sometimes I don't have good questions. It's okay. I don't mind saying that sometimes my stuff is clunky. And then getting back to Steve, though, he's so he cares about media, and he always sees people in the best light. So
yeah.
Even if you don't give him a great question, he will answer it in a very respectful way,
yeah,
which I appreciate from him because I never want to be...
You don't want to put on a summer jam
thing? Afraid of a coach that I'm covering or nervous about where I'm stepping. You want it to be free-flowing and harmonious, and that's definitely the way it is with Steve.
How has it been for you? We came in together. I think we came on this beat together. Oh, 2017?
Yeah.
So this is your third year, right?
That was for you, too?
Yeah, it was my first year.
I just think of it as, like, my rookie season was the same as Jordan Bell's, and it was the last championship that the Warriors won.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You would say, yeah, yeah, it was. My question is, well, shout out Jordan Bell.
Shout out Jordan
wherever
Bell.
Wherever you are.
One of my favorites.
What do you feel about, how do you feel you've gotten more comfortable on this beat? And how long does it take to get comfortable on a beat that you're on, you think?
Oh, if it wasn't the Warriors' job, I would just say, if you ask me that about any job, I think you have to give yourself 3 or 4 months before you feel completely comfortable.
Man.
Do you agree with that?
Maybe longer.
Yeah,
I would say I wasn't comfortable on this beat 100%. Not that I didn't feel like I was doing good work, but I didn't feel 100% good on this beat until March. Last March,
yeah.
2019.
Yeah, it takes a while.
I just started traveling in March and, you know, kind of just getting accustomed to being with the team full time.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing, like, and I wasn't where I was in my previous, I wasn't a number one.
Mm-hmm.
So that was different. And I feel like, I mean, I will credit Monty Poole for this, who's like the legend. I would say he sees us on equal.
Yeah.
So I feel like I finally got comfortable where I'm at in this locker room and where I'm at just spiritually and a lot of different things in March. So that would be like maybe a year and a half into the beat.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, but 3 or 4 months, you're a legend. So like, I'm sure, you know, that was great for you. But
I don't know. 3 or 4 months would be minimum. I think 5 or 6 months, like toward the end of the season, and then year two felt a lot better for me. Just as far as knowing routines are really important in this job. Knowing where to park, what the Wi-Fi is, how to get to the airport. Like, here's where we go on the bus, here's what the hotels are like. So you get to learn that at home, and then every road game is that experience all over again. Where's the media room? Where's the bathroom?
That's funny. I'm starting to feel like, that's weird you say that, because I feel like each year I've been here has been like my first year in some regards. Like, even this year feels like my first year.
So many changes.
So many changes, and I'm traveling full time, so there's a lot of arenas I still don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember Salt Lake last week? All these days.
Yeah, it does.
It was last week. I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know where a media entrance was. I had to walk, do a lap beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
But it's new. But I do feel, but yeah, like, when did you get comfortable?
When did I get comfortable? The first year, I was very aware of how big this job felt, being on this kind of stage. It was the first professional team that I covered full-time. So I had dabbled with pro teams in New York, but it was mostly like cover a Knicks game here and there, cover some hockey games here and there, and then anchor. This is my first full-time beat. And I knew who Roz was. I knew she's very popular, but I don't think I knew how popular. And then here's this new person stepping in. And then the job itself, like, the Warriors are a global phenomenon.
Right.
And when I was on screen and when I'm reporting, like, people from all over the country that I had met at previous jobs or friends were like, oh, I saw you on TV. I was like, you did what? Like, how? How?
That's local. We're supposed to be just in the Bay,
right? How did you
see
that? Yeah. And it was just sort of a reminder of how many people are watching. And I think if I had let that get into my head, I would have been paralyzed. So I just had to fall back on experience that I had been doing sideline with the UConn women for 4 years. They had 4 championship seasons. It was just, I had plenty of on-camera time and a foundation in basketball to be good at this. So I just tried to keep it small in my head. It's just basketball, talk about the game, have fun, and that was it. And keeping it small helped me, because there were some ways that I knew, oh, man, this feels really big. And then the Warriors won a championship that first season.
Yeah.
That's a long season of 82 games and practices. Because, Logan, I think people think we have days off.
What are those?
Honestly, how many days off do you think you have a month?
I had one yesterday. Probably like 2-3 max, maybe.
Yeah, a month.
But I think that's because, I mean, at least our people at NBC now, at least my boss tells me you need to take a day off when you get back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, but I remember going on a beat, like, none. Like,
It
would be 3-4 months before you get a day off.
Mm-hmm.
But to your point about, like, the Warriors and how your first year was, I was thinking about that. You said, you know, take it small. I was the opposite. I was like, whoa, this is, because I guess I didn't have experience to jump back on, because this was my first professional beat. This was my first beat ever.
That's extraordinary.
You know, this was my first thing ever. So everything felt like, you know, I had to be perfect.
Mm.
And I'm at the time I was 24, and I'm going up against, I'm name dropping a lot of people, I'm going up against Monty Poole at the time, who is someone I grew up reading.
Yeah.
He's my OG, and I'm going up against him. I'm going up against Marcus Thompson, who I, like, 6 months before, went to his book signing to get a book signed.
Because
I was, you know, I was such a fan of his. And going against Ethan Strauss and all these people that I had read and I was a fan of, it's like, it's no longer you're just a fan. Like, you're going up against them. And I took that to heart, and it was, there's a lot of things going, and I felt like going against me in my mind. Like,
yeah,
you know, you're youngest on the beat. You have to fight the perception that you don't belong. You know, you're replacing all these people. We were replacing at the Mercury News. We were replacing Marcus Thompson and Anthony Slater.
Yeah.
And so there's the expectation, It's so, yeah, the first year was really hard for me, like very hard for me.
Yeah.
I don't think people see that from people. They think that, you know, this is a glamorous job, which it is, but there's a lot of pressures that come with this. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't expecting, like, all these people to read your work because the Warriors were so big at the time. And even now, like, put a Steph story out, it's going to get numbers.
Oh, yeah.
But that first year was hard.
Yeah. Okay, so explain for people who might not understand. You're talking about going up against these guys.
Right.
What does that mean? Like, why are they your competition? And what are you all trying to do on this beat?
We're all trying to get as much news as possible. Exclusive news. And you're trying to make sure you're telling the best stories. But in my mind, you know, I want to, for lack of a better term, I want to beat them, you know, and I just want to show I belong. And I'm a type of guy that had a lot of chips on his shoulders. You know, I had a lot of things that I just wanted to prove to myself. And I just remember, like, there was a lot of things where, you know, maybe in my mind where, you know, do I belong? Am I supposed to be here?
Mm-hmm.
This is real.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just fighting that battle, you know, just going against people that, you know, you always, and I was 24 at the time,
mm-hmm.
you know, and a lot of people just saying, oh, what, this is the part, when I was your age, I was covering high school and I was covering all these things.
Okay.
And you're fighting against that.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was a lot of second guessing that first year.
When you hear that stuff, do you feel like their message is you don't deserve this?
Initially, you know, yeah. Yeah. There was a lot of that in there, you know. Like, I didn't work hard to be here. And that would mess with me, too.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, so. Yeah, that first year was tough.
I think those questions, do I deserve this? Should I be here? Do I have the experience? Am I good enough? I've been a reporter, I think, about a decade longer than you, and those questions never go away. Or maybe it's just us because we care so much, but I think about that stuff still. Or even this summer I had some thoughts when it's the off season, and I didn't work. I didn't work at all this summer, and I liked that, and I needed that. But there was a part of me wondering, if I stop moving, if this is a race, is somebody going to pass me?
Were you an athlete growing up?
Yeah. Yeah.
I was an athlete growing up, too. I always take it back to, like, you know, the age-old saying, if you're not working, someone else is.
Yes.
But I push back on that. Sometimes you have to fight with that, right? Because mm-hmm. for most part, we're always in a competition with ourselves.
That's a great way to put that.
I don't think that, because at the end of the day, this is what I've noticed, and I think this gives me solace, is, like, nobody really cares about what we're doing. Like, no one really cares.
Yeah, it matters to us.
It matters to us, but mm-hmm. it doesn't matter to everybody else the way it matters to us.
Yeah, you're right.
And I think that we have to, I had to at least separate that. That, yes, I need Logan time, too.
Oh, yeah.
I do need that, you know, what was it? I don't know, the yesterday where, you know, you're not doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
You do need that just for your sanity.
Yeah.
Because I've noticed when I am tired, it affects my performance.
Oh, absolutely.
When I'm extremely tired and I'm, you know, doing all that, it affects my performance. I want to be as great as I can be.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to do that. But to your point about your summer.
Yeah. No, I refer to those as sanity days, too, and I've got to take those. It's honestly, like, I need to make sure I'm sleeping enough. I need to get a workout in, and I probably need to do laundry or grocery shopping. So, we're bringing this up not to complain about our jobs, please. We both love what we do, but just to explain some of the realities and that we don't have a lot of days off. And there's 82 games, but in between games, it's either a practice day or a travel day, so it's work-related things, like, every single day.
Yeah.
And it's great. So then this summer when I was, you know, when there isn't a regular season, I took that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt good about that. Everything I put off, like doctor's appointments or getting my car right or just getting to a level of fitness that I want to be at, that's what I take the summer for. It is my sanity time. My husband and I travel a lot. But there's a little voice inside of me wondering, I feel like it's my ambition, where no matter what I'm doing, how great I am at it, how awesome my job is, it's always like, what's next? Why aren't you there yet? How come you're not working? So I really have this inner conflict with making sure I take breaks and making sure I am the best me I can be, the way that you described it too, and reminding myself, like, just being gentle that it's okay to pause.
This is such a therapy session.
But it is. Well, thank you. Because I saw something today. It was like this guy talked to 40 reporters, 40 folks like us, like advice for yourself 10 years ago. Yeah, there you go. I tweeted about it. Because
you did that before, too, right? Yeah, Sports Illustrated.
He does that a lot.
You were in it.
I was in one of those. But I just had this reminder, like, this afternoon to myself that make sure your job is what you do. It's not who you are. So I need to preserve myself, and this job requires a lot of myself. So when I do have moments to myself, I better take them.
For sure. I think this is a good segue for something that we were trying to do.
Sure.
Before we get to that, do we need it? Do we have a ad we need to do?
Say the sponsor name. Wendy's.
What up, Wendy's? but my biggest thing, I think it's a good segue to travel.
Oh, yeah, we do need to talk about travel.
We should talk about our travel.
Because it's different for us. I'm sorry, Logan.
So before we get to my traveling,
okay,
let's get to yours. So how do you travel, Carithburg?
Okay. NBC Sports Bay Area, as a broadcasting partner with the Warriors, has some privileges when it comes to travel. So Bob and Kalena and I and our producers and directors and stuff, we get to travel on the team charter, which is, I'm looking at your face right now. We get to ride on their plane and we get to stay at their hotel. And when we get to have a direct flight to New Orleans, for example, or when we get to come home immediately after an East Coast road trip, oh my gosh, that feels so good. The food on the plane is yummy. Really? The seats, I know, I don't know how thick I should lay it on here, but it is a different degree of travel. And to be honest and serious for a moment, the only reason I think I can do this job is because of those perks. I'm being serious. Like, my husband and I talk about this before the season. I guess when you're in this NBA life, like, you really need the support of the people around you.
Yeah.
The way that I travel means I get a couple more days off here and there because I don't have those travel days in between like you do.
Right.
I can come home the night of a game, which means the next day is like a pure day off.
How does this flight look? How does this plane look? I've never seen this
Oh,
plane.
Sure. Okay, so there's three sections. The front of the plane up where the pilot is belongs to the players, and those are like full layback first-class seats. There's also a couple tables built in there, so like Draymond and Steph and Clay, when he's healthy, those guys will be playing cards or dominoes a lot. So they have those tables. The middle section belongs to the coaches. Their seats nearly fold all the way back, but they're big, they're wide, they're comfortable. And then they have a table there as well. So Steve, Mike Brown, actually all the coaches usually have their laptops out, and they're looking at film of that game or the next game. Those guys are always working. There is something fun, like Q manages the playlist for the plane. So all
Q?
The Q.
Bruce
Q has,
Frazier?
Yeah, Q does that. So you'll hear, like, what's that Tennessee Whiskey song? I think it's Chris Stapleton. Am I asking the wrong person, Logan?
You're asking the wrong person.
But
I don't know this.
So it's Chris Stapleton. Steve really likes Hall & Oates. You know, like, there's some different things, like, mixed in there. So we get to hear that in the back of the plane where the trainers and the staff and the broadcasters sit. So our seats are...
Oh, your seats. So there's first, ridiculous first class.
Yep.
And it's like first class.
Yeah.
Like, where are you guys
in? We are also in first class. So it's, instead of, like, on a normal plane where it's three seats, aisle three seats, it's two seats, aisle two seats. So they're wider and they recline a little bit more. It's decently comfortable for an airplane.
And is there what's the food situation?
The food situation is healthy stuff. Lots of like veggies, some sushi, some hummus. We'll have some local stuff, some catered stuff, always salads, always gluten-free stuff. But then there are some snacks up above. Like, if you want a bag of chips, you can just get a bag of chips. But they
That's
try
fine.
To do healthy. I feel so bad telling you all of this, Logan.
Do you want to know?
Yes.
Do the listeners want to know
why? This is what I mean. It's not fair.
I will say this, though. Shout out to NBC Sports Bay Area and their preferred hotel list, because that is a very great perk from this.
Yeah. Okay, what is your travel like?
Our travel, like, so everybody has their different ways of doing it. I like to get the first flight out after a road trip. to get back home. Especially when we're normally a long road trip. We mm-hmm. end on the East Coast or the Central Time Zone.
Yeah.
So I like to get, even if it means I don't sleep the whole night, I like to get the first flight out because the first flight out has the least amount of chances of getting delayed.
Smart.
And I do not, and I always take directs if I can.
Can I pause you just for a second?
Yeah.
Because after a game, let's say if there's overtime or if it's just a late game and you have
right.
a lot of interviews, you might not leave an arena until midnight?
Probably like 1 o'clock.
And then you're talking about taking a 6 a.m. flight.
Yes.
Ooh.
The reason being, though, is because, say, like the last, I think, what was the last late long trip we had? It was New Orleans, I think?
Yeah, that was on one of them, yeah.
So we'll just use New Orleans as an example. It was just like that. We got it at 1, and I think I had like a 6 a.m. flight back to SFO.
Wow.
The reason being is because I can sleep for those 4 hours on the flight, and mm-hmm. and that day is a day off,
mm-hmm.
so I can sleep throughout the whole day,
yeah.
and then I can be recharged for the next day.
Okay.
That's why I do it. I'd rather do that than sleep in and risk missing a flight, or it get delayed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to be back on the West Coast.
Yes.
As much as possible. So I like to do that end of a road trip. On the beginning of a road trip, it depends, because if we have a game, say, in Portland or in Los Angeles or someplace like that, or somewhere close within a two-hour span, the team will practice in the Bay Area
yeah.
and then go to that city. So I usually will take, like, maybe a 3:30 flight
mm-hmm.
to Portland or Los Angeles or Phoenix or someplace like that, just so I can, you know, just so we can get the practice in and we can go and then maybe get a meal or something by the time we get there.
So a lot of the reporters, they pick one airline. They stick to that airline for life. They get the miles.
It's a blood oath. That's
right?
A blood oath.
They stick to one hotel chain, one group,
yeah.
so they get those points.
I'm more so, okay, so can we, let's do this. So, yes, there is a blood oath that you take.
Okay.
I am breaking that blood oath tomorrow.
All right.
Well, today. When
on
you guys
an enemy
hear this,
airline?
I will be breaking this oath. I, full disclosure, I am a SPG Bonvoy Marriott. I'm Marriott. Bonvoy
okay.
Marriott.
Yeah.
And I am United because SFO is a United hub.
Right.
And I, for the most part, I take United wherever I go
mm-hmm.
just because I was a Southwest guy, but with Southwest, they don't really reward you in the summer times because when you go out on and you're flying all these things, you accumulate points.
Yeah.
And you want to use those points for vacation.
Yes.
And
a hard-earned vacation.
100%
in the off-season.
Right? So. I don't want to always go to Mexico with my summers.
Okay.
For Southwest. So I take United so I can have that vacation time.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so I always do that. Tomorrow, when you guys are hearing this, we have to do some stuff, which you guys will see. I'm sure you guys will like it down the line. But we have to do something Thanksgiving in Miami. And I have to take American. I have to take American tomorrow.
Wow.
And I hope, I pray, there's wood here, I'm knocking that we get there on time, but I'd take American, and I'm not really happy about that.
Well, tomorrow is Thanksgiving.
Tomorrow is Thanksgiving.
Which I didn't realize until today. Like, I'm on a group text with a couple friends, and I'm like, what are you doing for Thanksgiving? And I'm like, oh, shoot, is that this week? You know what I mean? Like, in my life, in my mind, I know what I'm doing today, and I know what I'm doing tomorrow. And really, I don't look too far past that. I think I frustrate the hell out of my friends because they're like, are you free on this day? Like, I have no idea. Everything changes. I don't know. Like, my circle really shrinks to very few people.
Definitely. I think it's great to have, like,
I don't have the bandwidth, right? And I feel bad
right.
about that, but I need to preserve what
for
I have.
Sure. And I think this is another thing that was, it's a double-edged sword, right? Because you want to hang with your people.
Oh, yeah.
And you want to do all these things. Like, you know, we're flying on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
A very communal holiday.
Mm-hmm.
But
when we land, we're going to work on Thanksgiving.
When we land, we're going to work on Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you want to have that time with people, but you also want to have time for sanity.
Yeah.
And when you're on the road, sometimes you don't get to see the people that you see on the road because, no defense to them, but sometimes you just got to, like, have Karis time or Logan time.
That's
just
right.
to, like, get our ducks in a row. I hope you know, guys, that we love what we do. I just want you
yeah,
guys to
we
know
do.
That we love what
but
we do.
Fans always ask us, what is it really like? Or what is a day in the life? And we're going to tell you.
Yeah.
Like, this, it's not an easy job. It really soaks up all of your life, so it has to be worth it. And it is.
It is definitely is
yeah.
worth it. I think that a day-to-day, if you want to give these people a day-to-day, it's tomorrow, for instance. We're flying to Miami.
Mm-hmm.
We are doing some work out there. Whatever. We're recording another podcast.
Yep. You know? We're doing a dub of the day, but we'll keep that under wraps for now.
But we're doing another podcast, and after that, you probably get some dinner, and then you go to sleep, or you try to go to sleep, because that's another thing. Time difference.
I was going to ask you, what is your sleep like? Are you a good sleeper, or when you lay down, is your mind racing? Like, does it take you a little while to get to sleep? Because rest is so important when you have this
when
kind
I'm
of schedule.
When I'm asleep, I'm good.
Okay.
I think that with this business, I'm sure you know, like, we put a lot of our soul out there for the world to see. And whether it be me writing or you, even when you write or when you, you know, are in front of the camera, we put a lot of that out there.
Mm-hmm.
And with that comes a lot of second guessing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that some nights is good to sleep in, but if, like, some days you feel like maybe I didn't do the best, I didn't make that shot, I didn't write that lead the way I wanted to, it sticks with you. So I think that most nights I'm good, some nights is, you know, it's rougher than others.
Yeah, I agree. I chew myself up inside if I think I've failed.
Are you a good sleeper on the in the seven-star hotels
am.
You guys stay in?
Seven stars, come on. If I can put my phone down, I'm a good sleeper.
Yeah.
But I go into the sinkhole all the time. Actually, what I've started to do is the New York Times crossword puzzle before I go to sleep,
mm-hmm.
Or their word game. It's like there's a spelling bee or something like that. So if I can't detach my phone from my hand, I've at least trained myself to stop reading Twitter or news and at least do something completely different that wires my brain differently for sleep. Something like educational.
What about a journal? Do you ever get a journal after a game? Like a
game,
I'm just like, I remember, game five of the NBA Finals when the Warriors were down 3-1. Was Kevin got hurt that game. Kevin Durant got hurt. He tore his Achilles, and they won that game.
Yes.
Still, I remember after that, I think I had a flight the next morning out of Toronto, and I was just, I wanted to at least get like 3 hours of sleep. I was just up, like, what did I just see?
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I think that that plays a part as well. It's just adrenaline.
Yeah.
I think one thing that I try to do to get over that, I know you do crossword puzzles, I try to watch something or read something that has nothing to do with basketball.
Perfect.
Like, my biggest thing is watching Desus and Mero.
Something funny is great.
Or I watch something that, like, maybe a documentary of something else, like a music documentary or something, till I doze off.
Yep.
But I make sure that it has nothing to do with the game that I'm doing or anything like that or anything related to basketball. I want to keep my mind off of it.
Yes, I agree with that. Even if I'll come home from home games and it's like 11 o'clock, I'm like, I know I'm not going to sleep until 1. So I'm going to microwave some taquitos and I'm going to watch some kind of show.
Right.
I'm going to try to turn my brain off. But it's hard
because
I'm wired. Like, there's something exciting when you get to be on camera or write a great story or when you get to break news to people or when you get to be the voice about something a lot of people are interested in. Like, we're still fans of basketball. I don't think we could do this job if we weren't fans. So we get amped
breaking
up for certain
weird,
moments,
bro.
Right?
Breaking news is something.
And it still gets me going. Sometimes I still get butterflies. I think the way that I show that I'm nervous, which will never show up on camera, thankfully, is my palms will still sweat.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
To this day, my palms will still sweat before a live shot. Yeah.
You got me thinking about breaking news.
Ah!
That just made my palms sweat.
Yeah. How about none? None today.
None today.
Let
but
it be
no,
a peaceful.
I meant just breaking news yourself.
Yeah.
Like when you yourself break news.
Yeah. Or it's, you know, it's not just I get to tell these stories on camera, but it's also my face on camera. So I hope I'm doing it well. I hope I look good. I hope people react to me well.
Yeah.
I've had to learn to be less sensitive to what people say about, like, what I'm wearing or how I look or whatever.
Everybody got a problem with care, got a problem with me.
No, I don't know. Everybody has an opinion. That's okay. Most people are friendly about it. But when I took this job, my mom gave me a great piece of advice that not everyone is going to like you, no matter what you do.
Yeah.
And that gave me a calm, like just a peace heading into that job that I still rely on.
Straight up.
Yeah.
I do have another question. I'm sure.
And then we got to wrap it up.
And then we got to wrap it up. This is a good question for the, you know, listeners out there. How has it been covering this team versus last year?
Oh, yeah. So my 3 years and your 3 years have been championship season, game 6 of the finals last year, to now worst team in the NBA based on record.
That's a drastic change.
A drop off right there. It's okay. Like, nothing. Honestly, my game day duties, my regular duties have not changed. I still do the exact same amount of hits. I still do the same kind of prep work. And I still want to talk about this team as if they're top dog, right? And our broadcast philosophy is that we want to make sure viewers never see a difference between a 20-win season and a 60-win season.
Right.
The quality always seems to be the same.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to do, too. I want to tell these stories. I don't care if they're underdogs. I don't care if they're losing. They're still people playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
Let's tell the people stories, because there's some great ones on this team.
Definitely. You talk about Kai Bowman. You talk about...
He's my favorite story right now.
Yeah.
And maybe it's because of our proximity to it, but I think that's, like, the best story in the NBA right now.
Yeah.
A two-way player starting, having these performances. He doesn't have an apartment yet.
Right.
An apartment. He lives in a hotel
because
he doesn't know if he's going to go back down to Santa Cruz and have that
two-way
life.
Oh, he's
going to
ball in Santa Cruz. At some point, he's going to Santa Cruz.
But do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know if he has a kitchen that he can cook meals for himself in. He's in a hotel right now.
Yeah, but that great stories like that. And I think that it's – I like it because I feel it's a lot more – not genuine, but I'm trying to find the words for this. But I think this season is – this is when they're finding themselves. And I think that this is a different – for both of us, because – before this, we'll get to this on another podcast, but all you do is cover winners.
I've been UConn very fortunate in my career.
But it's different. It's a change of pace for me because they're not winning. They're not even expected to win. But there's stories within that, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's the Amari Spellman who is going through, trying to revitalize his career. There is a Kai Bowman who's just trying to get in the league, like, full-time, get a contract.
Oh, yeah.
There's Alec Burks who's trying to revitalize a promising career. There's all these stories here. It may not be flashy. It may not get to the national news, but there are really important stories to be told on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I think, when you, and also as a journalist, you really get, I feel like you really get your inroads when they're not good.
Oh, yeah. They see who's around.
They see who's around. They see who is constantly covering them.
They see how you treat them and how you talk about them.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And I think that this has just been a very, I think I like covering a winner, a historically great winner, but I do like this as well. A team that is not necessarily good record-wise, but is making really genuine strides to get better. So
yeah.
I do like where we're at right now, covering from a coverage standpoint.
I do too. It's a professional challenge to make sure when you cover a down team. I'm not even saying, like, as a reporter, you have to accentuate the positives. You just have to tell the truth, and sometimes the truth is pretty stark. But how do you talk to people when you can tell that they're upset, that they keep losing? How do you find good questions to ask and points of frustration? And then how do you pick those words? And I kind of feel like this conversation has come full circle now. Like, how do you make sure what you're asking isn't clunky? How do you make sure it acknowledges reality while also being respectful? And it's just, it feels like a reset, like a freshness, like a puzzle to put together.
A transitional year.
Sure.
That's what we've been getting, yeah.
Sure.
But, I mean, it's funny because we still have guys that people care about, right? We still
of
have
course.
Covering guys people care about. Steve, people care about him, care about Draymond. And, people care about Steph, obviously, and Clay. Mm-hmm. And it should be an interesting year. But I am enjoying this, I think, more than I thought I would.
Yeah. Logan, I care about you, and you're doing a great job.
Thanks, homie.
I really love working with you. Let's do fist bumps.
Let's
I thought
this,
that's
man.
What you were doing.
Let's do this. But, like, yeah, I think that we should do more podcasts like this. I know we have guests, but I did enjoy just us talking, because this is literally what we talk about over dinner, over just in general when I see you. So
thanks.
Dope.
And, well, anything the viewers want to know, the viewers, the listeners, the readers who take a look at your work, please let us know. Let us know what kind of topics you want us to talk about, because this is your podcast. Running Plays is for you, and we want to make sure we're putting out the best info we can.
Vibes. Gang, gang. See y'all.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Running Plays. Don't ever miss an episode. Subscribe for free wherever you listen to podcasts. And please take a moment to rate and review this pod. It helps other fans discover our show, and it lets me and Logan know how we're doing out there. Thanks, guys.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.